And welcome to our Inside Consulting podcast series. I'm your host, Fiona Javazi, and I'm part of the talent acquisition team here at EY. At EY, we share one central purpose: to build a better working world. We empower our people with the right mindsets and skills to navigate what's next, become the transformative leaders the world needs, pursue careers as unique as they are, and build their own exceptional EY experiences. This podcast series focuses on our consulting service line and covers a range of topics. You'll learn how we are transforming businesses through the power of people, technology, and innovation. Each episode brings together our people, sharing their career stories and perspectives about what it's like to work at EY. We hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired and considering a career with EY. In today's episode, I'll be speaking with Stuart Wallace and Kevin Wang about data and analytics at EY. Hi, both Stuart and Kevin. Thanks so much for joining us today. Really pleased to be chatting with you both. But let's start with some intros so our listeners can find out a little bit about you and your background. But Stuart, if you can kick us off.
Hi. So my name is Stuart Wallace. I'm a director here in EY's data and analytics team in our financial services organization. So I only work with financial services clients, providing them solutions related to data management and strategy.
I'm Kevin Wang. I'm from the UK and Ireland DNA team. Currently, I lead UK and Ireland's data analytics and AI strategy and operation service offerings under the umbrella of DNA strategy and obviously DNA itself. I'm currently actually working with a financial services client as part of the non-financial services. So I'm glad to be connecting the dots as we talk through this our experiences with Stuart as well.
Great, thank you both. So moving on to our first question, which centers really around motivation. So what attracted you to EY and a career in data and analytics?
I joined EY from a competitor, and I think the cultural aspect and the exposure to variety of engagements are the main reason for me to eventually to join the firm and really stick with it for the past 7 years or so across three countries. So one difference that I noticed, I think, immediately is really on the cultural aspect, and I think how leadership are approachable and listen to our concerns and address the questions or concerns we come up with during work. And also there's a I think an aspect of respect and care about our personal aspect, our personal life side of things as well. I think the combination of this and the professional side, opportunities that we're exposed to with different industries and clients and the services itself as well, really gave me a new sort of perspective in what we can come up with in terms of DNA solutions as well. So those are some of the reasons that first got me to EY at the first place and gave me the sort of the career development over the past years.
And thanks, yeah. I think I've been at EY just over 9 years now, so you asked me to stretch my memory back quite a bit. But I suppose my career's not really been as structured as perhaps it should have been. When I started out, I was working for a voluntary organization. I sort of became their data guy fairly quickly. And after a few years there, I went to develop my technical skills in a pharmaceutical organization, sort of learning the ropes on SQL and data manipulation and data ingestion and data transformations and all those sort of disciplines and actual real heavy scale data environment. I then moved into consultancy in a small boutique consultancy on data and analytics, effectively. And I had a great time, and I really, really love consultancy. I love the variety of consultancy. But in a boutique environment, Yeah, you do have a great variety of work, but it can be quite specific work. It can be quite small scale, if you see what I mean. And what really attracted me to EY at the time, I remember having this discussion when I was handing in my resignation at my old place. It was the opportunity to work on a bigger scale, work on bigger projects, work on more transformational initiatives, and you know, ultimately be responsible to a higher level of stakeholder at the client. So actually being involved in shaping the direction of data and analytics initiatives. And you know, I have to say, over the last 9 years, that's exactly what I've been doing all the time, and it's been brilliant.
And Fiona, to answer to the second part of your question, actually around what got me into data and analytics profession as well, it was quite a discovery process for me, actually. I was a math major and an econ minor back in university, and actually wanted to pursue a math PhD originally. I was also professionally trained in classical music, so I was also considering a career in classical, you know, being a classical a pianist. Even after I started my career in DNA back in the US, I still embraced, you know, personal interests like aviation, and actually acquired a private pilot license during years of training. And I do intend to continue my training further as well. What I think locked me to the current role as a data and analytics professional is precisely, I think, this discovery process, which made me realize that a career in DNA, something that is related to my university education, and you know, the consulting nature, which includes an element of art, which I pursued previously as well, for example, the art of communication, the art of design in the deliverables, and you know, and the key driving factors of building a career, taking initiative, realizing personal ambitions, and leading on these, I think, points that all of which contribute to this job being a, I think, a good balance between my personality, my interests, et cetera, and personal experiences as well.
Yeah, it's interesting you that background, Kevin. I mean, my university background is medieval history, so I have even less, hardly any data around then. It was all around about how you actually start writing down literature in the first place, or records on parchment and so forth. So it's seemingly very little connected. But actually, I think the point about communication, and I think the point about developing a sense of objectivity and critical thinking is essential to that sort of consultancy role. The storytelling element of DNA, of data analytics, is absolutely a sought after skill. It is the magic bullet for any consultant in this space, I think.
Thanks both. Well, both quite varied backgrounds, it seems, and different reasons as to why you pursued data and analytics. And it's what we hear time and time again, I think, in terms of what's attractive at EY, you know, our work and culture and the opportunities it presents to us. But could you tell me a bit more about your roles and what you do?
So there are four facets to my role, really. The first is client delivery. I'm the engagement director on a number of data management and strategy engagements. Those cover a broad range of activities that could be looking at the data capability maturity of an organization, either in an organizational unit or across the entire group, as I'm doing at the moment in one of my clients. It could be helping establish a data quality utility. It could be actually helping set up a brand new team for the chief data officer in some of our sort of emerging clients, some of the clients that are new to market. And those are always very exciting activities as well. That's point one. Point two is it's about leading the data management and strategy team in our organization. So that is definitely working with some very inspiring colleagues, recruiting more of them, helping them develop their careers, working with vendors in this space, building the international networks that are so essential to a life at EY as well, and really just making sure that we are continuing to lead and get industry recognition in that space. So that's the second part. The third part at the moment is quite specific, but I think this is going to last for the long term. Actually, I spend a lot of time looking at ESG data, that's environmental, social and governance data. And that is a breaking wave of new data that is going to become quite important to most of our engagements and in fact, all of our clients and all of our lives going forward. So I participate in a number of global working groups across industry on the data challenges that are already identified there. I advise clients on the options that they have to address it. It's actually been really exciting in the past few weeks to be working with a client who's taking a particularly innovative approach here. It's been really great that our work in this space has allowed us to be approached to support them there. That's been really rewarding. And then I guess the fourth element is I also happen to lead our data and analytics capability up in Scotland, where I'm based. So building out the team there is a priority for the year ahead for me as well.
Right, so quite a number of different aspects to your roles there. And what about you, Kevin?
Overall, I think similar to Stuart, I help clients, essentially the objective is really to help our clients drive business insights, values and growth by connecting the technical capabilities to the business problems and solving these business problems through leading engagement, delivery work and business development, as well as practice development as well. Obviously, on client engagements, we look at every client is different. We look at their particular situation, reading through their documentation, gathering more information in person from them through interviews, and really just to come up with the solution that will fit their situation the most. Helping them achieve their business ambitions. On business development and practice development side, as I mentioned, I lead data analytics and AI strategy and operations. So what that means is really looking at our past experience collectively, coming up with a framework as well as approach, etc., that can help us accelerate the delivery process, deepen our understanding into the industry, looking ahead and incorporating the trend into our solutions to make sure that we provide the most advanced knowledge and solution to our clients to address their problems in ways that previously was not possible or costly. And in addition, I think one thing I really like about this job is really the flexibility to get involved in a wide range of firm operations as you are maybe aspired to. For example, I'm also quite frequently engaged in marketing and client relationship building activities, practice development and management, as mentioned previously as well, vendor evaluation and selection, people and culture side of initiatives. I know, Stuart, you must be also heavily involved on D&I initiatives, etc. as well, when you build out your team in Scotland, as well as recruiting. And I think, obviously, today we're having this podcast recorded, which is also a fun addition to just our normal kind of range of work activities as well.
I hope our parents are listening to this, Kevin. And it just seems to me I've gone from childhood, where it was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I wasn't really able to explain because I didn't really have a clue, to what is it you actually do? And that's also quite difficult to explain, but I hope we've covered that there. So that's quite useful.
Thanks both. Well, actually, my next question was going to be, can you give us an idea of what a typical day looks like? And you can keep this brief because I'm sure there's a lot of detail behind it.
There's no such thing in my experience. I mean, I just look back over the past week and not a single day has been the same. There's, I guess, consistency of the engagements you're working with, the clients you're working with. There's always different meetings, different times of the day. There's different documents to review. There's different artifacts to look at. There's different things to produce. And that's just on the client delivery. There's podcasts doing that sort of stuff. There's interviewing people. There's connecting with colleagues around the world. There's connecting with vendors. There's meeting new clients. There's supporting our proposal activity. There's reading. You know what's going on in the industry. You have to keep your eyes alert to that, so that you're sort of looking at new articles, new trends. I mentioned ESG before. I could spend my entire week just reading about new ESG data sources, and I spent quite a very interesting hour this week being taught by some of our colleagues in our sustainable finance team about the importance of biodiversity to the whole climate change agenda and the absence of any meaningful data sets in that space. So I think that's it's forever learning. That's the only consistent thing across a typical day. You're always learning.
And I'm sure this is a question that we got asked a lot. What do you actually do on a daily basis? And it's such a challenging one, because I've had the fortune of working across our member firms in the US, in Canada, and now in the UK. It really depends on which stage of a career you are, which engagement, client engagement you're working on currently, what additional firm operations and activities are involved in, what you have, what you're currently contributing to, all of which will in a way dictate or influence your daily life. For example, currently I'm in the discovery phase or information gathering phase of my new engagement. I work with my clients very closely, talking to people from across the enterprise from different departments, trying to collect as much information as possible. So my day is quite filled with client interviews from morning to evening. And obviously, as we get into the second phase in the next week or the following weeks, we will start to analyze the information. So we probably will, in a more structured way, we will arrange our activities to align to this, our thinking and approach as well. So it is really, as I mentioned, really depends on which engagement you're involved in, which phase it is, what other activities you're currently doing, all of which will make a difference to your daily life as well. So it's echo what Stuart said, there's no such thing as a typical day.
I'm sure. Thank you both. What tools do you use to create insights?
I can go with this first. When it comes to tools, I think it largely depends on the client IT infrastructure, data infrastructure, as well as their kind of ambition in terms of realizing identifying and realizing their insights as well. So it largely depends on the client situation. Our team members are equipped with some of the most advanced skills when it comes to driving insights. For example, when it comes to data engineering, we have data engineers very capable of, obviously, SQL as a kind of like a basic tool, but on the platforms of, say, Databricks, Teradata in the past, Azure, Microsoft, these cloud solutions as well. When it comes to data science, obviously we leverage Python, I think less frequently are these days. When it comes to visualizing data, there is also a wide range of things, for example, Power BI, et cetera. So I think our team members are quite versatile when it comes to using a tool for specific purposes in terms of analyzing data, transforming data, and deriving insights. And I think in a lot of ways, it depends on what the client's needs are and how we can help them selecting and using the tools to achieve their business objectives.
Yeah, and I'd echo that, all of those tools, whatever the client wants to use, really. I think the actual more interesting part for me, the challenge to that is, first of all, what they're going to do with those insights and what's the sort of the processes that those insights are going to drive, and it's increasingly not looking at a report on what happened in the past. It's increasingly about how are we going to make a credit decision for this client and this customer right here, right now. Is that sort of real-time decisioning that is so important to get the data right? And then the second element is it's actually about simplification of their data environment, because where we are just now, we cannot carry on with the data environments of the past. We need to simplify this so it's going to be agile and dynamic enough to satisfy the needs of this new rapidly accelerating digital economy.
And when it comes to tools, I think another thing I'd like to mention is really the L&D opportunities that we provide. We do want to keep our team members abreast of the technology trends that are happening today, and equip ourselves with the most advanced technology out there. We try to realize this ambition through having a partnership with Microsoft, and obviously all the training programs and certifications with Microsoft will be available to us for free. In addition, we do have frequent training opportunities with big names like Databricks on data engineering, etc., which I also alluded to earlier. So I think all these opportunities really help me progress and get exposure to as much as many tools out there as possible.
Yeah, and some of the new tools that we're working with in my part of the organization, I'm sure you're looking at as well, include the likes of Snowflake. That is becoming very significant in our marketplace. But we're also working with really interesting sort of fintechs from around the world. I'd name one in the UK in particular, Solidatus, is a very interesting data lineage. Actually, it's more than data lineage. It's next gen data lineage. It's lightweight. It's quick. It can do so much more for what was a very traditionally slow and challenging, cumbersome process. But using tools like that actually make things more nimble, more agile, are exactly the sort of approaches that we bring to clients when we are looking at their business challenges.
I think that's a very good point that Stuart just made, because essentially what you're saying is our alliances with different, players in the market as well. So when it comes to what tool we use, obviously to kind of like relate to what we mentioned, we want to focus on the client's needs and situation first. Then at the same time, we want to learn as much as possible with all these learning and development opportunities provided to us by the firm. And at the same time, with a lots of alliances out there, we continue to explore what other options will be available to us. So I think there are quite a few aspects that play into this seemingly simple question, I guess.
Great. Thank you both. Super insightful. There seems to be a few misconceptions about the role. Lots of people think you need to be good at maths to work in data analytics. Is this true? I know, Kevin, you said you're a maths major, so maybe you can start on this one.
I'm not sure I'm actually proving my point that I'm about to make, given that I'm actually a math major who seriously considered pursuing a math PhD back in university. But it really isn't the case. I mean, looking at the team here, we have there are lots of things that will determine what kind of a background you will come from. And obviously, looking at Stuart and my personal experience as well, we come from very different backgrounds, and Stuart was not even part of the science program, at the beginning, I guess. So it depends on what role you currently play, which specific pillar you belong to. Obviously, for data strategy, there's probably a less accent on your technical background or math background. But when it comes to data science, there's probably, a lot of emphasis on your statistical background. We do have, statistics PhDs guiding us in terms of the best modeling solutions out there. So it really depends on the role you play overall. And we have people with a very wide range of backgrounds, coming from different majors, having experienced different organizations and working across their functions and departments. So I think it's a myth than a fact that, you know, we are all math majors or even stat majors.
Yeah, and I'm perhaps the poster boy for it not being necessary to have a particular maths background. I mean, I can add up, I did maths at school, you know, I can work my way around an algebraic equation. It just didn't particularly interest me. Whereas, you know, I think Kevin's absolutely right. I think there is advantage in certain elements of what we do in having that sort of background, and that's absolutely important. But there's equal advantages in having that critical thinking background that we talked about earlier, that ability to tell stories, that ability to interpret what's coming out of the analysis and make it relevant to our clients and indeed their stakeholders. So I think it is a blended team. I don't have the maths background, but I certainly know where to go to find the people who do.
That's really interesting, because it could be that perception that we were talking about that is putting some people off, you know, getting into this field. And so this insight from you both may hopefully inspire people with all sorts of backgrounds to get into data. Data is crucial. It's important. But what's exciting about the future of data analytics? Something we should know about.
Oh, God. I mean, I think we've been talking about this. In a way, we've been talking about this for a number of years, but we are living in the data explosion. We've always known this was coming. You know, for as long as I've been working in data, we've known that data is going to be critical. But really, in the past 2 years, it's gone beyond mainstream. You know, people are talking. It is on the front page of newspapers when people are using algorithmic decision making to determine exam results. It is on the front page of newspapers when people are worrying about the ethical impacts of sharing their data through contact tracing results. It is absolutely driving the economy in the digital transformation, which has been accelerated by you know, the pandemic, frankly. But it was always happening, but it has been accelerated by the pandemic, and data is driving that, because there's really no point having a digital front end if you're not going to have the data that's going to support it. So that is what's exciting about data at the moment. And again, I'll also mention ESG. I mean, I'm fairly confident I'm going to be spending the rest of my career working with ESG data. If you are starting out in your data career, this is where you're going to make this is where names are going to be made, because we haven't got time to muck about with this data set. The climate change is real. It's here. We can see the impacts. We can see the considerations. The volume, variety of data that's coming down the line on ESG is going to be critical to identifying where this is going to impact, identifying the changes that we need to make. Data is everything though.
If you look at the data and analytics function itself, it's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, I think another myth is that people tend to think data and analytics is a solely technical function. That's far from true. In a successful organization where data and analytics function is well established, hopefully led by a chief data officer or chief data and analytics officer, you will find out that oftentimes, more often than not, as a matter of fact, the DNA functions is actually aligned to the business functions. So a CDO, instead of reporting CIO, they will report to a COO or CFO, but in some cases CEO as well. So, but that is not to say we're not technical at all. The DNA function, you know, will utilize any type of technology, and you will obviously utilize technically, in a way, data to resolve these business problems to achieve business outcomes. So what I think is really the linkage between business and technology that puts us in a very special place. What also comes out of being in that position is that we are at the front and center of business transformation today. I think with the disruption from new technology, new solution, etc., I think lots of businesses are going through a transformation. And when it comes to transformation, our point of view is that don't just focus on data when you incorporate a data and analytics perspective. Focus on the insights, focus on your business objectives, focus on the value that you can derive and enable with the addition of data and analytics. And so I think this makes data and analytics quite an interesting profession to be in. And if you look at the involvement of the things we do with data and analytics, Stuart rightly said, if you look at, look back 10 years ago, we're doing completely different stuff. Back then, data and analytics is about gathering data, is thinking about putting together a framework and looking at what data governance should be in place such that you can collect more data. But what are we truly getting out of? I don't think anybody had a very good answer to this question back then. If you then look at 3 years ago, I think 3 to 5 years ago, data science type of engagement started to pop up. And I actually went through a period of time back in Canada during my tenure there. The market demand for data science and big data type of work jumped from at around 10% to 20% or so in the beginning of around 2018 to more than 50% towards the beginning of 2019. So that transition is a trend that is happening around the world as well. So you will like to see a lot of new capabilities being derived, a lot of new business value being achieved through data and analytics.
It's interesting your point there about the CDO, the Chief Data Officer role, their changing reporting line. Actually, some of the most visionary Chief Data Officers I work with, they see it as their ambition to abolish their role, to render their role redundant in the next 5 years. And they sort of look at at the start of the 20th century, but at the start of the 20th century, you look at organizations that had chief electricity officers. Well, you don't have chief electricity officers anymore. Chief data officers should be in the same way. It should be as easy and accessible to use as a light bulb. In fact, you walk into an office these days, if anyone remembers what that was like, and you walk into an office and the lights switch on automatically anyway. That's kind of where data should be going. You should be walking in and you'll be able to see, all right, this is the data I need to pick it up. Work in a virtual environment, that's my dream.
Thanks both. It really seems like such an interesting field to be in at the moment and for the future as well. Something that a lot of people are very much interested in is development. They are keen to know before joining a firm, how will that firm support them, nurture them? So in terms of your career development personally, how has EY supported you?
I think one of the best things that I've achieved through my career with the EY is becoming more well-rounded every day. And I think there are so many elements that will play into the role of being a consultant, especially one in data and analytics. Obviously, from a technology or technical perspective, we have to continue to learn. The technology is shifting so fast. If you're talking about reporting 3 years ago, like maybe 5 years ago, looking at visualization as a tool we used back then, some of which we no longer touch today. 5 years ago, again, we talk a lot about using SQL, and today it's more around how can we build data science models and achieve those new things that we were never, able to do before. Or, I still remember the first time I came up with the fraud machine learning model to predict fraud activities. That was around, I think, 5 years ago back in New York. It was one of the first times in the market where we're actually exploring machine learning solutions. And the way we developed that solution, it was, there was a lot of manual work in building these models out. And looking at Python today, a lot of the packages are already built in, so you no longer have to go through those processes. And the framework is out there for you to choose such that it can pick the best model that can fit your situation possible. So a lot of these things are changing so fast, and we have to keep learning to stay abreast of these technical developments. On the business side, and you know, personal and operational side as well, I think it's also about learning how to communicate with people, how to convey your message, how to convince others, how to influence people's decisions, and all of these are part of obviously our job as well. And I think I get a lot of on-the-job coaching from my mentors. I can't tell you how many mentors I had over the past years. You know, whether or not they're from the DNA function itself or outside of the practice, because we work very frequently with other practices. So they would obviously also tell me things, you know, like a specific business area that, you know, one area that I've probably never exposed to before. So I think all these will contribute to, as I mentioned, building a more well-rounded profile for oneself. And this is something I'm quite aspired to continue to do as well.
And I think for me, how it's developed me, I suppose, first and foremost, it probably has been those bigger opportunities that I was looking for when I joined EY, and giving me those, that is a stretch, that's a good stretch, that is development, that's development in real life. I think it's also, really useful challenge from people who are a lot smarter than me. There's a lot of smart people around the world in this organization, and that is great. And it is developing ideas, it's developing my thinking, and ultimately that encourages me to stretch my ambitions and stretch the ambitions that I think, in fact, that I know our clients want us to bring. They want us, they bring us on because they want to do things differently. They don't want to do the same. They want a different way of doing things, something that's going to result in better outcomes for them and their customers and products, etc. So yeah, that's how you develop, by thinking differently, by being challenged to think differently, by having new experiences. That's how you develop. And then everything that happens on our comprehensive learning and development experience and our tech MBAs and all this sort of stuff, all of that is the foundation, but it's the actual doing the job and the experiences and your colleagues that develop you.
Great, thanks for that. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you both so much for your time. It's been super insightful and just great to find out about your careers, roles, all the day-to-day stuff, and just overall your experience at EY. Thanks for your wisdom.
Thanks, Vera. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you very much.
If you're feeling inspired and want to find out more about a consulting career at EY, search EY Careers in Consulting online.